great to everybody on the call this evening. I'm going to leave this off of mute, so feel free to participate. Many of us have been through this discussion before. We're talking tonight on this celebration of life, the importance of mental creation. I'd like to bring into the discussion my latest book, The Observer's Chair. If you haven't had a chance to read it, it's a very simple concept. It's about healing our self-esteem. It's about sitting in the chair of the observer, the one who's observing thoughts, who can step back from and make different choices. This place we feel whole and complete and real and genuine and authentic. It is here that we hear divine whispers and ideas to problems and solutions. This is where our passion gets ignited. This is where we take passion-driven action. This is when we feel whole and complete and confident and valiant and unconditional and compassionate and empathetic and productive, disciplined. This is where it occurs, sitting here in the observer's chair. As we go through mental creation, this is truly how can we take our gift of vivid visualization and use it in a way that it supports intentional creation. That's what this whole discussion is about tonight. And how do we sometimes use it, get yanked out of this chair over to that chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking, and this thought process just goes into vivid fantasy, catastrophe, all kinds of craziness that creates challenges for us. So I'm going to do my very best tonight to frame this in the context of sitting here in the observer's chair. Instead of getting into a battle with our unhealthy habits of thinking, we're going to turn the chair around, and I'm spinning my chair around, and we're going to carry on a different conversation with a power greater than ourselves, that power that can give us inspired ideas and solutions to challenges if we are in alignment with the principles that govern creation. So here we are. I can tell you there's not a day that goes by that I don't have to consciously practice the principles we're going to talk about tonight. There's just too much going on in the world with too many people that I can get done with a coaching session where I've been dealing with someone's just really challenging problems and just feel overwhelmed. Bless their hearts. Or I can be dealing with an issue that I'm trying to solve in the business or with one of our coaches or changing practicum or a delay from a developer, which we're dealing with this afternoon, an element that's supposed to be designed already that has been promised for a week and hasn't been done yet. And how do you handle those things? What do you do? Because I can assume that everybody on this phone deals with at least once a day something that happens that they didn't want to have happen the way that it happened. Is that a fair statement, everyone? Anybody have one of those moments where you just go, I'm glad somebody just came off of mute. You can say yes and then join me. That would be great. Anybody else have those experiences, or am I the only one?
Yes.
Yes, that's what happens. And the question is, in each one of those moments, what do we do differently? What do we do? I had one yesterday and had to do with simply being sick for 2 weeks, and I am only sick once every 10 years, and I am tired of it. I went through the antibiotics. I'm getting lots of sleep, lots of water, lots of rest. I'm eating well. Ramona's feeding me juices and all kinds of wonderful things. It won't go away. And I was so tired yesterday from coughing and coughing and coughing. And I wanted to go in that woe is me, poor me, dungeon of despair and discouragement. And that's a moment. What do we do? And in that moment, very conscious, I said, I need to go back into creation. What am I working on? I've got a script for a video that we're shooting on Saturday. got into it. Ramona called me later for lunch, and I had a hard time getting away to go up to have lunch because inspired ideas started to come. There is something in that script now that would not have been there. This is the secret, that when we make the choice to go back into constructive use of our vivid visualization, and we get an inspired idea, and we act on it, we'll have something in our life that we would not have had any other way. That's the reward. And that's when we get to say, oh, I am so glad I made this decision. Enough of these decisions, and it'll become easier and easier for us in those difficult moments to say, yes, I am tired. Yes, I could just close my eyes, put my feet up on my desk. I could sit here and whine. Or I could choose to go into creation. I am so grateful when I do. Do I always? The answer is no. More of the time than used to be? Absolutely. Invitation to you? In these pivotal moments, make this decision more and more and more. We all have a vivid visualization. We all can see. Some people say, I haven't been able to see, but we miss exits. I've shared this with you. We miss exits when our mind is somewhere else. All we need to do is have someone deeply offend us and see if we can let it go. What are we thinking about? How far are we taking it? Are we blowing up their car? Are we burning down their house? Are we coming up with the perfect retort to the next comment they make? Are we playing out a phone call in our mind? If we have had something that really deeply offended us and we want to, can't let it go, that's when you know you've got vivid visualization. And I'm pretty certain most on the phone, if not all, have those kinds of moments where we just can't let something go. It might be that we have committed to eat a certain way, and then we violated it. And all of a sudden our mind is in all kinds of self-deprecating dialogue, and we're beating ourselves up, and we've got all kinds of things to say about who we are or who we're not. That's vivid visualization. That's what it looks like. It's not necessarily seeing pictures. It's an impression. It's an idea. Will we see clear vision sometimes? Absolutely. But rarely is it in pictures. We have a sense of knowing. Talking with a client this morning, writing a book, and we're preparing her to do mental rehearsal this week. She's got a very serious part of this book to write. This is a book for children who are losing a parent. And she's taking them through a process to help them create memories that will last for a lifetime. It's really tender. She now wants to help introduce the thoughts and feelings a child is having during that time. So when a child hears their parent read this book to them, they're going to feel understood, deeply connected. What a responsibility. Incredible opportunity. And we said, let's mental rehearse. She shared what she saw. I shared what I saw. She shared what she saw. I shared what I saw. They were just impressions, ideas. It was really a rich and wonderful conversation. When we do this a lot, we strengthen this muscle. When we do it at first, it's going to feel like getting on the treadmill after not being on it for 6 weeks. It's hard. But the option is, I go into discouragement. We don't want to spend any time there. If you're a God-fearing person, I can tell you God doesn't go in that space. He doesn't go into darkness. We have to come out into the light. We might want to take our clay, as I said on the call a couple Saturdays ago, for the first time, I verbalized that we take the clay, our clay. We don't like our clay. So we use our vivid visualization to go to a time in the future when our clay is perfect. Our building. bills are paid, our relationships are great, we've got lots of cash in the bank, everything's fine. And then we begin living what it will be like when our clay is perfect. Norepinephrine coursing through our body, it feels euphoric and wonderful. But the next day, something is going to happen that's going to introduce us back to our clay. And we've talked about what happens to the body. Cortisol, fear, dendrites, emotionally shut down. It's a terrible thing. We do not want to be using our vivid visualization to be picturing perfect clay and then imagining what life will be like when it's perfect. However, in goal setting, we'll want to see what it would be like to have perfect clay. Then come back and look at our clay and begin the process of creating something magnificent with it. Creating the most we can with it. Each millimeter improving, knowing that we'll be given even more clay as we build, and more clay as we build, as we fully maximize the clay we've been given. And one day we wake up and our clay is what we once viewed as perfect. We've got a whole new series of flaws we now see, things we'd like to improve so we continue to grow. But we want to use our vivid visualization to go into the future and see, to ignite our passion so we can keep our eyes on the goal above our head. That is why I'm exercising. I have seen my perfect body. It's not what I'm seeing in the mirror this morning, but it's better than it was yesterday and better than the day before that and better than the day before. I'm doing the millimeters of diet and exercise, activity, to get my body to that place. If it's your business, the same thing. If it's your relationship, the same thing. We want to use our vivid visualization to get a clear vision of possibility. Our risk is when we try to go beyond it, assuming that that has already occurred, because nothing is going to happen until we've actually accomplished that first. I'm so excited. On the 23rd of February, down in Provo at the Zion Bank Building, I have the privilege of speaking with two of my favorite people, Lon Wardrop, Dan McCormick, but he's bringing in Peter Vidmar and Sharon Lecter. I invited Sharon to join us, and she's going to be able to come up and be there with us. Sharon was the one who actually wrote out Outwitting the Devil, Napoleon Hill's memoirs, Save Wisely, Spend Happily. It's the number one seller right now. She wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Now, Robert Kiyosaki gets credit for it, and she's so humble she won't talk about it. But she did all the writing of all those books. Excuse me. She's a CPA, a member of the CPA's National Committee for Financial Literacy, incredible human being. Building a step at a time, getting your finances in order. And then Peter. Peter I wrote about in the book, Today I Begin a New Life. Grew up at Deer Valley, and he's telling the story of winning the Olympics in 1984. And he made it very clear to us that all of the vision that they had, all of the time they spent in their mind, was spent between where they were and that last exercise in the Olympic final. They never once went beyond the gold medal ceremony to the Wheaties box, the limousine, etc. I've shared that story with many of you before. It's in the book, Today I Begin a New Life. It is amazing what Peter's accomplished, because he understands that you go and get the vision, and then you come back and do the work to do the creation. The vivid visualization ignites our passion. Very literally, when we truly want to create something that will serve, what can I create? How can I create that? How will I serve? We're letting go of a desire for ease, a desire for no more stress, no more pain. We truly want to create something magnificent with our life. Do something that's significant, that'll bless the world. Peter taught me this so clearly, that you get the vision of possibility. You're wired to a functional MRI, we see part of your brain light up. That when these when these inspired ideas come, they do something to us. It's just an absolute witness that we are built, absolutely built physiologically, to use our vivid visualization in the way in which we have described it in this program. We fantasize, we get spanked. We go into despair and discouragement, we get spanked. We use it to go into the future, to get a clear vision of what we can create, how we can create that, how will that serve. It ignites part of our brain. It lights up our passion, our willingness to suffer for something we love. That's what the word passion means, as Kevin Hollis taught us all. His book, Aspire. Now we do the work without counting the cost or tracking the time. We do whatever is required to create in this tangible reality that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. It drives us. Same work that the fantasizer is going to have to do. The same work the catastrophizer is going to have to do if they want to create the same result. However, they're not igniting passion with fantasy. They're setting themselves up for a horrific, negative experience. Same thing in the dungeon of despair and discouragement. And now faced with the work, absent passion. Same work. Boring, mundane, repetitious, burdensome. So the message is really clear. We're built to stay in creation. We are not built to be in discouragement and fantasy. It is an affront to the very principles of creation. Fantasy and catastrophe shut the windows of heaven, if I may be so bold to say. So, here we are in the pivotal moment. We're having one of those moments. We're saying, no, I'm going to stay in creation. Pull out my tomahawk. Not going there today. Staying in creation. I'll want to pick one of the five ways of thinking. Which one will serve me best in this moment? Maybe I just want to play in my mind all those that I could serve. If there's anyone I can serve with my unique experience, put them on my path, and I will serve them. So we start playing out names in our mind. We get an inspired idea and we act on it. We might want to explore possibilities. Well, I could sell this house, buy that house, move over here, try this. And we explore the possibilities. We play them out and see which one has the best final ending. We want to write an advertisement. We do the same thing. What advertisement would move somebody's soul? We get to explore possibilities in our mind without making a tangible commitment. It allows us to mitigate damage, to lessen damage by considering possibilities. We still may not make the perfect decision, but we will have eliminated several bad ones. We may want to mentally rehearse. I think it's the most common of all that we'll use. We go to an event in the future, short term. It might be a meeting. It's a speaking engagement I have on Saturday night. That's where I was a little bit earlier. Pondering this group. Thinking about their leadership. What do they need at this awards banquet to hear from me in my 40-minute keynote? What is it that will resonate with them? What will lift them, build them, inspire them? Idea comes. Start exploring the idea. Next idea comes. Start exploring the idea. I've invited someone to come to an event. I start thinking about, what can I do to be more than a pimple in their life? What can I do to have this a priority in their life? What can I create? How can I create that? How would I serve? We get this impression to send an email, send a picture, ask a question, make a phone call. We act on it. They actually show up. We find out later they weren't going to come, even though they committed. Until something touched them and they're coming for themselves and not just for us. This is mental rehearsal. What have you got coming up in the next week? Just think about it. Write something down on a piece of paper. What is coming up that's important? What meeting do you have? Presentation do you have? A challenge that you're working on? What are you facing? Now, go to your mind. Just be still for a moment. Picture the event. And just live the event. Someone says, do I make this up? I say, no, back when you were fantasizing about a Ferrari, nobody had to tell you the color, the appointments, the speed, the road we're driving on, the trees, the grass. Nobody had to say anything. It all unfolded because we had such a desire to have the Ferrari. If we have such a desire to serve this person or these people, the same burning desire, what can I create? How can I create it? How will I serve? You'll get an inspired idea. It's in direct relationship to the depth and sincerity of your intention to serve. That's the desire that causes this visualization to unfold. The visualization of driving a Ferrari or living in a beautiful dream home or being in the Bahamas or totally out of debt might have been driven by a desire for ease, huge desire. The desire for ease could be so powerful. Amazing things can unfold. And now we're learning to change our desire to loving and serving people, knowing that this is the secret of success. We've been studying that now for a couple of weeks. We step into their world. We take down their walls of resistance. We truly listen. We cared enough to do so. Create a safe place. We shared with them an idea. You bring all of that into your mental rehearsal. How could I step into their world? What might I say? If you want to be bold, you might ask the power greater than you to come to the stage and share with you, teach you. That power knows this person, knows everything they need, everything about them. And if your desire is to serve them, you can know the part you need to know. You can. So mental rehearsal is probably the most powerful, the most frequently used of the five ways of thinking. So exploration, inspiration, mental rehearsal, problem solving. We sometimes skip over this one very quickly. Just a couple things about problem solving tonight. We have, for the most part, very active what are called systemic thoughts. If you want to look on your assessment, they're the two bottom sections. See how much red and orange you have in those sections. When there's a lot of red and orange, our mind is very active, very busy. A systemic thought is different than every other thought that we have. It processes dualistically. Now, if you know computers, it's binary. That's what it means, ones and zeros. It's either a one or it's a zero. There's no 1.5. It's a one or a zero. All programming languages at their very basic core, one and a zero. That's it. The same thing is true of a systemic thought. All or nothing. Not some of it. All or nothing. Life or death. Not you'll be okay. It's life or death. It's right or wrong. It's black or white. It's dualistic. There is nothing in between. Polar opposites. That's how it processes. Now, when something isn't right, something's wrong. I can just see it. A systemic thought cannot rest until it's been solved. That's why so many of you are great fixers. You got all kinds of advice for everyone we talk to that we listen and we got an answer. We can see it, and we can see what's wrong, and we can see how to fix it, and we get frustrated when they won't listen, and they won't do it, and the world's on tilt. The world's on tilt until it's fixed. In problem solving, we're using this to our advantage. If our mind will not stop churning until a problem has been found, then we consciously turn our mind loose to solve a problem. What's the solution? In about 2 months, you'll see a solution on the website for the complexity of the assessment. Instead of seeing all your results at once, they're going to be spoon-fed to you in a very powerful and beautiful way, so that you can take it a step at a time and find out what your clarity is in each one of those six areas, then self-esteem and explore it, then the foundational principles of connection, mental rehearsal, physical creation. And then we're going to explore the barriers of discipline and structure. Then we're going to explore things we hunger for, joy in the journey. It's going to be a wonderful journey through your assessment. That solution came by presenting to a systemic mind, mine, and our designer. We want to create an experience that will inspire someone, get them excited. We know what happens when they finally figure out what it all says. We just don't want to have this initial fire hose that scares them away. We turn loose to the mind. What's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? We didn't rest till we found it. We spent months, a couple of iterations, and interestingly, the abandonment of some ideas for which I held very strongly. Interesting, huh? So what challenges are you facing? You want to make sure that if you're going to use this, this is one of the five ways of thinking constructively, that you give it problems for which there is a solution. I knew there was a solution to this. We just had to find it. We didn't know where it was. We had to find it. If you've got a house and you've got a mortgage that's more than the value of the home, if you're looking for a way to reverse that, you're probably giving it a problem it cannot solve. If it's, I want to find a creative way to market it or short sale it, or a way to maximize this or maximize that, you can do that. But don't apply to this one of five ways of thinking problems that are unsolvable. But consciously, as I did with my mind and as Renee did with his, we would say, there is a solution to this. Just go to work on it. Play through the scenarios. And we played and it played and it played. In the book I talk about flying among the peaks and valleys of possibilities, being open to new caves and digging here and searching there, and being able to, a couple weeks later, whatever it might be, come back and see how many creative ideas you've come up with, just by knowing there's a solution and using this insatiable appetite of a systemic thought to solve the problem, to turn it loose on that problem. Have some fun with this one. The last one's planning and goal setting. Planning and goal setting, you can listen to in your studio. There's a whole section in the book today, I Begin a New Life, on planning and goal setting. We go through a business, a relationship, employment, if you're working somewhere. The secret to the planning and goal setting is really simple. It's going into the future and getting a vision. Then coming back and keeping your eye on the goal above your head, on the vision, and beginning the process of doing what's necessary. I'm sitting here with my sweetheart. Ramona's taking notes for us tonight. Next week, next Wednesday, is our 38th wedding anniversary. We got some fun time planned for a few days to get away and just be together. We're going to a place that was planned years ago. Go back and read that section where you go into the future. Ramon and I have gone to age 85 when we're really old. And we're looking back at our life. I'm looking into her eyes and she's looking into mine. It's like we are right now. And I can see the wrinkles on her face then. They're not there now. And know the sacrifices that she's made for me, and oh, she's been incredible the last 15 days that I've been feeling awful. actions you'll take right now for preparation. If you're in a committed relationship, the purpose of this vision, I know very few people who have actually had a vision like this for their marriage. When I got it and started teaching this, I was surprised. Very few people have thought past next week. Maybe a vacation, but not their relationship. Because once you see this, and you say, I want to be faithful to this woman in every way, then we come back and say, what can we do on an annual basis to build this? Intentionally create that outcome. What can we do on a quarterly basis? What can we do on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, and a daily basis? What things could be done? I want you to take mental rehearsal as an assignment this week and apply it to this kind of a situation. What could I do every day? Just make some notes. See possibilities. Can you see yourself writing a note? Can you see yourself saying thank you more often? Can you see a tender hug, a 10-second kiss? Listening. Just listening. Weekly, can you see yourself on a date? Where to? Doing what? Monthly, a day together. Quarterly, 3 days. Annually, something really precious. It's not to be expensive, it just needs to be booked. We all need someone to love, someone who loves us, and something to look forward to. Now, for anybody who's on this call who's been through the coaching program with me and has now been through this maybe for their second or third time, my question to you is, do you know what you're going to do every day? Do you know what you're going to do every week? Have you scheduled and planned that day a month? Do you know when your next quarterly retreat is going to be? Do you know? And if not, this time, tonight, it's time to start the process. We don't want to just learn these principles. We want to live these principles. The joy does not come in the knowledge of them. The joy comes in the experiencing of them. So let us practice these principles of goal setting. In our business, let's get clear on our income. What do we want to make? Business has to be profitable. It's not hard to convert our financial needs to the number of lives we'll want to touch, train, sell, and then focus on finding those people, training them, coaching them, and recruiting them, blessing their lives, whatever it might be. Because if we'll focus on what's necessary every day, that if I do that every day to serve this person, the next person, the next person, at the end of the month, I will have met my financial goals. At the end of the quarter, at the end of the year, my financial goals will have been met. There is nothing wrong with making a lot of money, unless we're crushing people in the process. But if it's the result of helping people get what they need, oh, what a great gift. Money buys all kinds of opportunity and freedom. So let us start planning. Goal setting. Goal setting in that we catch the vision clearly. Then we come back and get clear on the daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual actions required. And then live in the now with our eye on the goal above our head. We'll ignore the obstacles at our feet, for we know that where dry desert ends, green grass grows. Well, that's mental rehearsal. Exploration, planning, inspiration, goal setting, problem solving. Those are all constructive ways of using our mind. If we can, tonight and tomorrow, when faced with discouragement, and we all will be at times, fatigue, disinterest, a challenge that's just overwhelming, instead of going into discouragement or fantasy, escaping, we simply go into creation, and we get inspired ideas, and we act on them as if they're urgent assignments. We'll begin to create something different. This is a beautiful laboratory in which we live. And it's been my experience that the power, which I call God, will never grant to us that which would rob us of stretching and growing and becoming all that we're meant to be. This whole process of, number one, shifting from me wanting ease, me wanting to be saved, me wanting to be rescued, to how can I serve them? What could I create? How could I create? How could I serve? That fundamental shift puts us on the same agenda, the power that created the earth. And now we're asking for guidance of how to create, what could we create, and how would that serve? And as we do this with increasing intention and increasing success, those visions will become clearer. They'll be more exciting to execute on. We'll have increased levels of passion. And we'll actually realize our dreams. Real money in a real bank account with which to buy a real couch. Well, I'm going to open this up. Any questions or comments tonight, that anything that I can do to be of service to you? Any questions or thoughts? If you're talking, you're on mute, so just press star 6.
Hi, Dave. It's Drummond.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing terrific.
I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
I'm feeling so much better if I didn't get rid of this cough.
Yeah, I wanted to just ask about the elements before problem solving and mental rehearsal.
Okay.
And just, if you can just elaborate a little more on...
Help me understand a little better the question, the elements before.
Well, you going backwards was planning and goal setting.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
Problem
put
solving.
Them in the order in which they're in the book. That's probably more helpful.
Oh.
Number one is mental rehearsal.
Okay.
This is when we're dealing with something that's short-term that we're preparing for.
Right.
And we want to be so prepared when we're there that we can serve at a very high level. And so we're seeking guidance. That's mental rehearsal. Mm-hmm. The next that I write about is called inspiration. Inspiration, very simply, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. We are willingly showing up. It's been my experience that when I start the day that way, before the day's out, somebody's been put on my path.
So in that particular one, is that sort of a meditative thing that you do in the morning, just to sort of sit there and go, okay, you know?
Eventually, you'll just become open to it. You'll start the day with, if there's anyone I can serve today, put them on my path, and we're just open to an impression. If we are fighting one of those temptations to go over there and wallow in that dungeon of despair and discouragement,
mm-hmm.
we're pulling out our tomahawk. We're saying, not going over there today. I'm staying in creation, and you know, our blood vessels are ready to pop on our foreheads because it just wants to yank us over there, and we're trying to stay over here. If we use inspiration, what we'll want to do is start rehearsing names.
Mm-hmm.
We say, well, is that wasting time? And I say, well, the alternative is cortisol, fear dendrites, emotional destruction of our mind and body. Rehearsing names may not be a bad idea. So we might start playing out the names of everybody that we work with, everybody in our family, everybody we went to college with. It's interesting that when we start playing out those names, we start to get a little bit of peace about it, because we're saying to a power greater than ourselves, how about Andy? Okay, then how about Scott? Jason, Jessica. We start playing out all these names in our mind, and we start to calm down. We start to get focused. We become present, grounded. And we may go through the whole process and not get an impression at all. But now we're grounded, and we're back working, creating again, and it served us. It kept us in a healthy place. Because when cortisol is released into the body, if we go over that dark dungeon despair for 10 minutes, we are going to be impaired for 10 hours. It's like going into a bar and having several shots of whiskey. And maybe our blood alcohol now is 1.2 to the 0.8 or whatever it's supposed to be. So it's now 1.5 times the legal limit, right? Mm-hmm. Well, for the next 12 hours, it drains off, does it not? Until we're back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with cortisol. We get this huge surge of cortisol into our body, and it starts to bleed off. So our impairment is less and less and less, but we are at some degree impaired for 12 hours, for 10 hours, for 10 minutes of discouragement. Why are we doing that? I'd rather spend 10 minutes rehearsing names and stay healthy.
So just a simple process of putting your mind to thinking about names sort of stimulates your inspiration, I guess, to think of people, and then other names come up.
It's actually saying, I'm caring enough to think about somebody else other than myself. We're saying to that power of creation, if any of these people need me, anything that I have to serve or give, I will. Just help me know which one. Help one of them stand out more in my mind than another. And I can promise you, I've had some really amazing experiences, even as of late. Some of them I've written about in the book. I mean, people that were on the verge of suicide in that moment, had that call not occurred, I'd talked to them for a year and a half. I didn't know that. But there is a power that does, and if I cared enough to go into that space and listen, I can know. Now, they're not always that dramatic. Sometimes we'll call someone, and frankly, they just needed to know someone cared about them.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you something I often say when I get one of those moments and I feel inspired, and I'll give them a call and I'll ask how they're doing. They say, things are going okay. And I say, good. Well, I just want to let you know that I've been thinking about you. I just felt impressed today to call you. Isn't it great to know that God knows your name?
Yeah, it's funny. Today I had a similar situation. Not that I was asking for it, but I do get these sort of mental hits of someone, which sort of stimulates the thoughts. Oh, I wonder what's going on with them. Da, da, da. And if I get sidetracked with, oh well, you know, they probably they don't want to hear or whatever, then on you go and get caught up in some other stuff, and I feel badly as the day goes on. Whereas today I thought of this ex-sister-in-law of mine and just wondered what she was doing, phoned her up, and I ended up having a wonderful 40-minute conversation, you know, and finding out what she's doing, and she's helped, you know, she happened to be taking the week off to help her parents who both had strokes and helping with care and stuff. But anyway, it's interesting. I get those hits, and I guess the essence of it is when those hits come, you've got to act on them immediately.
In the observer's chair, I'm going to read to you. This is the closing of the observer's chair. We're talking about healing self-esteem. And we've talked about unmet expectations. We've talked about the comparison game and traumatic events and secrets and all the objectives and raising awareness. And this is how I ended it. When I am sitting in the observer's chair, being my true self, free from the noise of unhealthy habits of thinking and burdens of the past, that's that dark dungeon of despair, I use my gift of vivid visualization to hear inspired whispers and see visions of possibilities. My passion is ignited. I trust my intuition. This is an invitation for you. And act immediately on these whispers and visions as if they were urgent assignments. I asked, or I'm in the spirit of asking, we get the hit. Do we say, oh, that can't be important? We can be selective about the hits that come? Heck no. I discover the validity of each, and in doing so, I trust and am trusted. I know and am known. And this knowingness is the single greatest source for healing my self-esteem. when we use our gift of vivid visualization, what can I create, how can I create, how will this serve? We get one of those hits and we act on it. We get a mental rehearsal, we get an idea, we prepare for it. We explore possibilities, we act on the best possibilities. We problem solve, we get answers. We plan and goal set, we get a vision, ignites our passion. When we're in this space, it becomes evident in time that I am known and I know. I trust, I'm an entrusted. And that knowingness is the single greatest source for healing my self-esteem. So it's the extra benefit, if you will. Not only will we have great moments of service and inspiration, in the end, just like with intrinsic validation, we step into someone's world, ultimately we're the beneficiary. Isn't that interesting? We're totally focused on someone else. We're totally focused on how to serve them. And in the end, we're still the beneficiary.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
That's wonderful. Yeah, keep trusting those hits, because if you'll stay in that space, you won't get the hits while you're in discouragement. And you won't get those hits while you're in fantasy. So if you're getting those hits, you know you're probably in the right place. Then you just act on them.
Right. I got to get better at acting on them in the moment.
We call it being plugged into the planet. Isn't that a kind of a fun visual?
That is a nice one.
I am plugged into the planet. I am drawing electricity from this power source. My goodness. Why not?
It's a great visual. I love it.
Otherwise, we're off in fantasy somewhere in that dark discouragement where there's no light, so there's no electricity. I'm plugging into the planet. Yeah. Thanks for asking your question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else that I can serve tonight? I want to thank you all for being on the call. Next week, we're going to take on the other piece of this. We use this to ignite our passion so that we can do work passion-driven. And so next week, we're going to talk about how to do the work passion-driven, speed up the creation process, and realize our dreams in the fastest possible way, the actual realization of the dream. We don't want to live in a fantasy house and drive a fantasy car. I know they're cheap, the price we pay emotionally for going there. But if there are some things we want in relationships, material things, whatever it might be, now we know how to get the vivid visualization, focusing on others, get the passion. Now we'll come and do the work, passion-driven. This will be a great discussion next week. So look forward to having you with us, and we'll be back with you then. So good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks, Dave.
Night, Dave. Night, Dave.